We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, we are recording on the Spotify Live app right after the Warriors 142-112 win over the Memphis Grizzlies, 1 point off of a franchise record for a playoff game, flirted with the highest field goal percentage ever in a playoff game. I'm pretty sure garbage time blew that. Not that it matters. We're about winning, not stats here. But just kind of painting the picture. That third quarter, I don't know how else to put it. That was some vintage Warriors third quarter. I thought they had a sloppy first half. The turnovers were disgusting. And then in the third quarter, clean that up and just, you know, it wasn't the lock them in defensively, the like Iguodala style third quarter run, but like same type of feel where it's like clean up your mistakes and blow these guys out.
Completely agree. One of those games where I think these are the Warriors of 2022, right, Sam? They're not going on a 22-2 run. I think these Warriors are more of like a, hey, we're going to go on a 34-10 run, right? Like they're not locking the other team up, but they've got an incredible offense, and that's how I felt about the Warriors tonight because, like you said, they shot the best that any team can shoot in the postseason. And the only reason why this game was close is because they turned the ball over a million times. That's the only reason why.
Yeah. I mean, here's a number for you. This didn't hold the whole way through, but 14 turnovers in the first half, and they had two turnovers in the second half up until garbage time. I don't know what happened in garbage time. Basically, the stretch of the third and fourth quarter that mattered. 14 versus 2. Draymond, actually, I got to give a shout out to Draymond. I was ready to fire up the trade machine. The first half, I'm just like, bro, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the throwing the ball around because you don't want to shoot it. Everyone knows what you're trying to do thing. And then the third quarter, I thought he was awesome. Awesome on defense. We know he's got that in him. But also awesome pushing it in transition and making the simple pass instead of trying to do some like elaborate pass it through a defense that knows it's coming. Just basically, I think he was the key to turning it around in the third quarter because you get those guys in the open court, no one's guard.
Yeah, I think three games into the series, Sam, I think Memphis doesn't have a lockdown defense, right? I think we're starting to understand that. This is not a defense that's going to make things difficult for the Warriors. I think for the Warriors, the Warriors can only make things difficult for themselves. Is really what it is. And you saw that in the first half where the Warriors made everything hard on themselves for really no reason. And the moment that they stopped turning it over, the moment that they kind of just said, hey, let's make it easy. Let's, like you said, Draymond, make the easy pass, get to the hole, and let's just make shots. Andrew Wiggins was good. Otto Porter was incredible. Jordan Poole was fantastic. Klay Thompson took good shots. Like, it's just, hey, take easy shots. Take the shots I'm used to taking. And this defense is not a championship type of defense that makes you work that hard. And the moment the Warriors realized that, it's 142 points. That's ridiculous. That's like ABA basketball.
78 in the second half, just to be clear. Like, I think it took them a half to figure the Grizzlies out. In some ways, you could say it took them three games, Draymond kicked out game one, game two, the GP2 thing. So it's like they've had different lineup combinations. Obviously, Kuminga in the starting lineup didn't work, although I liked them going back to him to get his confidence up at the end once they established a rhythm. But what I was going to say on it is I think what's interesting is – so Memphis sold out so hard on the three-point line. And the Warriors, it was mind-boggling watching like Draymond and Steph try to hunt those little like pet plays of theirs and just end up in turnovers. They just decide to stop doing that. They're like, they're gonna give us layups. Let's just get it done. Let's just do it that way. Steph had 14 free throws. Aside from one, maybe two, they were all attacking the basket. Like he got at least one.
He didn't miss a free throw for once.
The slump is over.
I think
he and Poole got really good at attacking the basket, and then you got a lot of help there from Otto rediscovering his shot. I think he's played well all series, but like he was due for a game where he went 3 for 5 from three, but I swear all those threes were like kind of pivotal momentum shift threes.
It was one of those where it was Andre Iguodala threes is what you call it, right? Where it's like he makes them and you know they're huge. It's one. And the thing is, like, I was saying this. Otto Porter is a 40% three-point shooter. And whenever he makes a three nowadays, you're kind of shocked. It's like, no, he's a great fucking shooter. And it's really good to see him hit those threes. I thought Andrew Wiggins was great in the first half. I just thought this team just needs to play pretty normal. Like, it wasn't like an outlier performance, even though according to the percentages, Sam, that it was an outlier performance. The Warriors shot 60, 50, 90. They're the second team in NBA history in the postseason to shoot 60, 50, 90. But to me, this Memphis defense isn't incredible. And I thought the Warriors playing the way they did, this is kind of what you expect against a defense that's not special.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, maybe on another night they don't hit this many, but the looks they generated really from kind of the middle of the second quarter on, dude, I'll take those looks all day. And if it's just a weird night where, like, they're not hitting the open looks, so be it. But I thought they took a lot of the first quarter was rough. Really kind of into the middle end of the second quarter was kind of sloppy. And then they really turned it on, third quarter especially. Good call on Wiggins. I thought Wiggins was awesome today. Awesome. I have no complaints. He's attacking the rim, taking layups, hit some open feet set catch and shoots, just taking exactly what the defense gives him. He was pretty disruptive on defense. He made some plays there. And, I mean, this is kind of like – this is what you were hoping when they got Wiggins. This is like the best version of Wiggins.
It really is. It really is. I mean, he's struggled for a few months now. You and I have kind of talked about it. But this is the type of game where I don't know. Sam, it felt like a regular season type of – I mean, the pressure was huge, right? The game three is – extremely kind of pressure.
Yeah, it's a 1-1 series. Yeah,
1-1 series. I think like the Warriors lose this game, they're in deep trouble, right? Especially at home. But I think the style that this game was played, the flow that this game was played, was kind of like a regular season game. And it just feels like this Warriors team. We hope that John Morant is healthy because he walked off with a knee injury. But I feel like this Warriors team kind of figured something out this game. To me. Sam, it feels like this team figured something out, especially offensively.
Yeah. Good time as any to talk about the jaw thing.
What happened?
To my eye, going for a ball planted kind of funny. I want to be careful to not like project something and then like we find out, you know, something else later. We're recording this right after the game. All we know is he's gone to the locker room. But it looked like a little hyperextension type of deal.
Okay.
I can't really tell. His knee, it wasn't a knee-to-knee contact. He planted and kind of limped. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like the, you know, the worst case knee injuries you see in the past where you're like, it wasn't a claim against Toronto type of thing either, but it didn't look good. And the way he was limping, like, it's hard for me to imagine he plays in game four. And that just kind of, I mean, I don't know where Memphis goes if Jaw's out. It might just be over then.
Yeah, the series is over if Jaw's out. Obviously, he's been incredible this series. But it looks like Taylor Jenkins is saying that after the game that Jordan Poole pulled his knee. I don't know if that was the case, but it's kind of a crazy take for a coach to say. So
he reached at his knee. He did. I'm looking at it here.
Okay.
Dude, I hate playing this.
Right.
I hate playing this game. It's I don't know. It doesn't look here. I'm watching it.
I don't know.
Like, I'm sending it to you.
Yeah, I know. I see it, but I mean, I don't know. You think what Jordan Poole's grabbing at his knee? That sounds crazy. I don't know. John Morant missed about a month of the season heading into the postseason with a knee injury. So, we hope John's not hurt. But he's had some issues this regular season with the injuries.
Yeah, he missed 20 games there. Obviously, 22. We all saw the stat. They were 20-2 without him. I don't think that translates to playoffs.
No,
I think that tells me that they're a really solid team who can still generate regular season wins. But yeah, leading with that, that's kind of rough from Taylor Jenkins. I don't really know what to take of it. I'm watching this right now, and I'm
I don't see it.
I don't see it either. He definitely grabbed at his leg as he was trying to go at the ball.
Because it's like this, right? Like, if that's the injury that got Ja hurt, like, Ja was already hurt before the injury. Like, if that's what it takes for your knee to get seriously injured, I mean, what are we doing here, right? So that's a slight tug.
Yeah, now I'm bummed because I know exactly what the noise is going to be for the next 48 hours about this. Forget Twitter and trolls like that. The national talking shows are going to go in on it, and it's going to be quite obnoxious, quite obnoxious. So I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna ignore it for right now because everyone listening to this.
Let's talk about the game.
Yeah. What other talking points of this game? Can we talk about Jordan Poole? Like, how good he played? Like, let's be honest. Another hyper efficient game. 11 for 17, 3 for 5 from 3, 27 points. There are times when I watch him, I'm like, is he the best player on the team? Now, Steph's objectively the best player, and you know, the defense tells you who they think the best player is by their coverage every time. Sure. But the way in which Jordan Poole keeps improving every game, it's just wild to me. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, remember last year we're like, we think he's going to be a good player. Now I'm like, he's going to be a max player.
Yeah, he's going to be a great player. I think this is the type of game where, you know, Steph was pretty passive for the first quarter of the game. And I think sometimes as Warriors fans, even though Steph was fantastic tonight, that's Steph, right? Because he's always going to be great for a full game. He's like, oh, I'm going to play the long game. I'm going to get hot in the second quarter. I'm going to figure it out. With Jordan Poole, it's like, hey, I'm going to come in. I'm going to attack Ja Morant. And that's what Jordan Poole did. He's going to come in and he's going to be extremely aggressive. And I think sometimes as Warriors fans, you love to see that because the Warriors need more than one creator. And I think when you see Steph and Jordan Poole together, it's special. It really is. It really is because Klay Thompson was amazing today shooting the ball. But at the same time, Sam, you watch Jordan Poole and the way that he puts pressure on a defense, it is the same way you see Steph put pressure on a defense. It's you don't see that very often. Like, you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, they really only got one guy that can create his own shot. It's Ja Morant. And you're watching the Warriors with Jordan Poole, and you're like, oh, you're seeing two guys that can do the exact same thing. Special.
Yeah, and it's really the – I mean, it sounds simple, but it's like pass, dribble, shoot, and can score from all three levels. You got two guys like that, very hard to guard, very – particularly when one of them is like the greatest of all time at it, and teams throw two bodies at him. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's quite frankly what this team needed. They needed another shot creator around Steph. We kind of thought they needed to go out and get one in free agency or a trade. You know, the team thought maybe they could develop it internally. And of all the high draft picks they have, who is it? It's the kid they took 28th overall. I don't think they thought he was going to be this good either, to be honest. Like, I think it's just, you know, you got to give credit to Jordan and Jordan alone for working and just kind of – I mean, he wasn't ready to play in the NBA his first year. Now we're talking about a max contract. That's some serious work.
Yeah, it really is. It's you don't see stuff like this very often. You watch every single team in the postseason left, and you don't see this. The Miami Heat, right? They only really got maybe one guy that maybe, right? You watch the Bucks, they got Giannis, that's it. You watch the Celtics, you watch the Suns, yeah, okay.
Suns are very fundamental.
Yeah, right.
By the way,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to take it back to the Ja thing. This is not the best live time stuff, but Hollinger, friend of the show, tweeted out, I know the Grizz are talking about the play where Poole hit Ja's knee, but I'm wondering if he actually tweaked the knee one play earlier. It's one of Ja's acrobatic up and under. I mean, he had like 10 of them, right? One of those ones, and he's kind of lands funny on his knee and is kind of like not moving normally afterwards. So it kind of speaks to your point, which is like, if you think that's the play that he got hurt on, where Poole grabs it, like he was already nursing.
Right.
It sucks because he's had a knee injury beforehand, and you know, it's where we're at. Okay, that's officially the last I'm going to discuss
this.
I know I'm going to get sucked into it later. I know it's going to happen, but I'm putting it out there. It's the last we're going to talk about.
Okay. You know, I want to say one thing too about Ja. The Warriors' game plan against Memphis is actually really good defensively. I think if you're Steve Kerr, I think he's doing it right. The Memphis started this game with 6 threes, and half of those threes were pretty bullshit, right? And I think the Warriors, they said, let's stick to the game plan. Let's let this team shoot these extremely tough threes. If Zaire Williams is going to make threes, live with them, right?
Yeah.
And I think the Warriors
– if the teenage rookie is going to kill exactly. you, then so be it. You know?
So be it. So be it. If he's LeBron James, he's LeBron James. Like that's a pot. And I think the Warriors with this type of game plan is basically – it is LeBron James' game plan. It is, hey, LeBron, if you're going to score 40 points, hey, Ja Morant, if you're going to score 40 points, fine. But nobody else is going to kill us. Desmond Bane, you're not killing us. Jaren Jackson, if you're going to want to make 28 foot threes, great, that's fine. But nobody else is going to kill us except for Ja Morant, and that's fine because Ja Morant isn't going to score 135 points. And even if Memphis scores 135 tonight, right? They lose this game, and I thought that Steve Kerr, with the patience that he's had, the Kuminga starting didn't work out. Kuminga was bad, but I thought that the patience defensively that Steve Kerr, the game plan, I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, by the way, we already got Woj saying the league will review Jordan Poole.
Okay.
I want to say one other thing on Ja in a different vein. You know the player he gets most often compared to? Russ.
Huh? Yeah.
I've never seen Russ play this well against the Warriors. That's all I'm getting. Like, I want to give credit for as athletic as he is and supposed non-shooter. A, he can hit shots if you give them to him. B, he knows how to attack a defense that plays off of him. He's not just like going in there and throwing it off the side of the backboard. He knows he's probably seen that defense his entire life. He's always been the quickest guy on the floor. Know it, like people probably aren't pressing up on him. They're more like trying to beat me with your jumper. So he knows how to attack it. I think he's got to give him a little hat tip on that because I was thinking about it and people were like, oh, he's a little like Westbrook. I'm like, he's better than the best.
Yeah, he's better already.
Yep. It's not even close in my opinion. So I'm going to throw that out there. Anyway, back to the Warriors here. Should we get to the goons?
Yep. By the way, I'm with you. Before we get to the goons, I'm with you. I think this version of Ja Morant is better than Russ. But let's get to the goons.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ryan, what's going on, man?
Hey, boys, what's up? First of all, I know you guys said you don't want to talk about it again, but we got to get it out of the way. If that pool play dessert is called dirty, then the Desmond Bane one where he's diving at Poole's knees is the same exact concept. You can't be saying one is disgusting and then saying the other is not. So I don't get that. Should Steve Kerr call for Desmond Bane to be suspended? I don't know. But other than that, great game. What's it called? We finally got out of our own way and just let the offense flow, because Memphis really can't communicate when our offense is flowing. Let's go beat this awful city, get them done. I'm over it. On to Phoenix.
Good call, Ryan. Appreciate it. Yeah, I can already see what direction this is going with the nonsense, and it sucks because it's been entertaining basketball. Sometimes it's been a little frenetic and sloppy, but it's been entertaining basketball. Yep. And I hate that it's going to be about off the court stuff.
Yep, I think that's how I feel about the entire series.
David, what's up, man?
Yo, what's up, guys? Hey, watching the game, I had another thought. Okay, so what? Don't be a negative Nancy though. Negative Nancy though, with all this pool stuff, because man, that was a great win. Just want to state that, like, fuck yeah, we needed that. But what I noticed, what I wanted to get your take on, was in the Chase Arena, because I noticed at the end of the game, like, hella people were gone, and I was like, I was kind of like disappointed to see that. Like, there was like 3 minutes left and a lot of the chairs were empty. I was like, man, I don't know if there'd be like that Oracle. I feel like we would have stayed, but I don't know if you had that same thought or noticed that.
Yeah, I actually have a take on this, Andy. When you make the downstairs club and bunker suite just so nice, people, even if they're into the game, can get sucked into it and miss like 5 minutes of real time. The beauty of Oracle was none of the amenities were nice enough to ever convince you to want to not just get to your seat. I know that's a lame excuse, but it's just how people work. You have service and nice stuff in a lounge right next to your seat. Sometimes you're a few minutes late coming back from halftime. You know, sometimes you go in there when it's a 20 minute, when you're up 20, you know.
I also thought the crowd was pretty good tonight. I don't know. I thought it was pretty packed on opening tip, but I don't know, man. I'm a Chase apologizer. I think this Warriors team is fantastic. I think the fans are fantastic. And I think sometimes when tickets cost $250 for the highest ticket room.
Yeah, I was gonna say the ones David's talking about courtside did not cost $250.
I'll tell you that right now. So I don't know.
Nikos, what's up, man?
Hello, guys. Just a question. Is Jordan Poole and Wiggins the two best players from Warriors in this series?
I just feel you could make a case.
They are the most consistent.
I do think Wiggins has been the most consistent and Jordan Poole has been the most consistent, but it's in context of their role. Wiggins is not being asked to see the defenses that Steph Curry is seeing. With that said, all I've ever wanted from Wiggins is consistency in his role, you know?
Yep. By the way, Sam, Ja Morant just tweeted, broke the code. The video of Jordan Poole.
In air quotes, so he's making fun of Steve Kerr. He's like, right, remember, right. Steve Kerr said Dylan Brooks broke the code, and they didn't like that. They're like, it was a bad play, but come on, man, you know. And now they feel like, you know, it's going the other way. I don't know. I hate this dude. I really hate this. That's hey, I, my, tell you my what, take I, is I hate this. Yeah.
I'll tell you what though. If you want to talk about a rivalry, you want to talk about the spice, you know, you want to talk about you know, Lakers, Celtics, you want to talk about, you know, just, you know, LeBron, Warriors, you know, you just want to talk about drama and what teams are all about and what the NBA is all about. Isn't this good for the NBA? You want this. You want teams that hate each other. I don't think these teams hate each other, but I think you want teams that want to battle like this against each other. So I don't know. I think it's good for the league. I think it's good for the NBA.
You know what the real irony of the whole thing is? Jaren Jackson and Jordan Poole are like best. They were high school roommates. They're like roommates? Close.
Wow.
They went to a boarding school. I mean, one of those type of situations. They're like, they're supposedly close, not just like teammates. So I kind of find it a little funny in some ways. But yeah, dude, it's about to be venomous among the fan bases. And that's what really matters. Like, yeah, we, you know, LeBron and Draymond are friends, but it was venomous between the fan bases. You know what I mean? And that's what really matters. So let's keep moving forward. Karima.
Hey, guys. Okay.
There we go.
First of all, I'm just bugging out about this Grizzlies team. Their coach, I want to bust him in his face anyway because he's talking greasy. And then Ja with this tweet, like, you know what? I need y'all to grow a set. Y'all was doing all, y'all want the smoke? Y'all want the smoke? You want to go up the chimney? What happened to all that? Now we're whining? Okay, but anyway, great win. I wanted us to step on these necks, and that's what we did. And the game ball can go to several people, like I tweeted. Otto Porter found his shot. Praise be, okay? And Wiggins has just been superb. Superb. And I love it. And keep attacking, keep attacking, keep attacking, because these Grizzlies are going down in five, like I had already said. And you know what? I think Otto starts game four. Your thoughts? Thank you.
I agree with Karima. I think, honestly, the only reason Otto hasn't started is, like, I always feel like there's the minutes question with him, given, like, the back, the hip, the general loony Iguodala-ness of his body, you know? Like, but we know he's kind of maybe your best option at power forward or center next to Draymond. So I think the Warriors will go to him. They went to him in the second half, and it clearly worked. Why not? Why mess with something? At this point, from the Warriors, I want to get out of the series before more weird stuff happens. So I'd start Otto.
Right. Otto Porter has been fantastic. To talk about him for a minute, Sam, he's been struggling shooting the ball for a while now, I think. And for a guy that's shooting 40% for his career from three, right? I know you were all about Otto Porter before the season started. And you were right. I mean, we didn't know that he was going to be this type of a high IQ player, just rebounding the ball, defending the ball, and making the right passes. He's been incredible. And it's nice to see him make these threes. It really is.
I mean, I thought he could rebound the ball well for a four. I didn't think he'd rebound the ball well for a five, which is what he's doing. Right. You know, like he's sized up even more than I thought. And I mean, I hope they bring him back next year because he's just a perfect fit to what they want to do. Perfect role player for this team. Knows his role, smart enough, can hit shots, can be in the right place defensively, rebounds. Like, what more do you want, you know, from a rotation guy?
Yep.
Right? He's only 29.
Is he though?
I think he actually might be 28. Him and Looney just, you know what I mean? He's 28. He'll turn 29 during the finals.
Jesus Christ. Good for him, man. He deserves it. He deserves it. With all the injuries he's had, he deserves it.
We got an epidemic of young men having hip and back issues.
By the way, Looney was also great tonight.
Otto. Yeah. I was thinking I was very close to firing a maybe Looney should start over Draymond tweet. And then I holstered it, and you know, with a little shot selection comes the reward of not being ratioed to death. He's been so solid. He's done his job. I mean, I think he's done a better job of I thought he was going to have issues with Memphis' athleticism. He's done a better job of holding his own.
I agree.
All right, let's move forward. Let's get Luke up here. Luke from America, not Australia, I assume, based on the picture.
Oh, my bad. I was driving and it was stuck on there. I was just curious about Kuminga. Like, what do we think if, I mean, I'm thinking maybe a little ahead of myself here, like, because we're going to the Suns next round, but what kind of minutes and what rotation are we looking at with him in there against the Suns?
Yeah, Luke. Andy, you want to talk about Kuminga real quick? What do you think of Kuminga today?
Yeah. Kuminga was jumpy tonight. I thought looked
like a rook to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought defensively it was actually okay. I thought he was actually better defensively than offensively. But a little too much, a little too fast. He's trying to do a little too much. And I think one of those games where, yeah, if you're going to start someone, I think Kerr got a little cute. But I thought if you're Kerr, you make the right move, right? You kind of make that defensive move. But I think with the Warriors, I think Otto Porter is the guy. I think next game, if you're not going to start Jordan Poole, you start Otto Porter. Very simple.
I agree. In terms of next round, Kuminga did have some useful minutes against the Suns in the regular season. I could see him maybe being better in that series because his athleticism actually could be a problem for like the Cam Johnsons of the world, the Jay Crowders of the world. He's gonna have to relax a little bit, you know. He's got the jitters out of him.
To be fair, I think Kuminga can play in this series. I just think that tonight, starting the game is not for him. Maybe coming off the bench will be better for him, but I just think that fast, that quick, the pressure, maybe not. Not right now.
Yeah. Josh, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing good. Especially after said Clay was going to have a good night, and I think he did exactly what he needed to. So I was happy with that. Kuminga I thought was okay. And I just have a real problem with Ja talking all this. He was wired up for the game, and there was at one point where he kept telling his teammates they need to get stops. And I was like, my brother, they're hunting you on the ISO. Like, you're the one that needs to contain the dribble drive a little bit better. So I just thought that was interesting. And I've been seeing that out of Donovan Mitchell, with the Jazz, and now Ja with the Grizzlies. I mean, you got to play both ends at some point. And that was, I guess, just really, really bothering me. And one of the things I don't like about just that class of player is just like, lock up. It's the playoffs,
Yeah. I have nothing to add to that.
I think that's the difference between Steph Curry and a lot of players. You see the amount of intensity that Steph plays with on defense, and he understands that people are always trying to hunt him. And I think Steph takes it personally. I think Steph takes defense more personally than really any other small guard in the entire NBA. And I think that's really cool. I think Steph defensively is what a lot of these players strive to be. You talk about Trae Young, talk about Donnie Mitchell, you talk about John Morant, you talk about all these young guards, right? They're focused on offense. They're focused on scoring 30 points a game. And I think Steph is, Steph is a good defensive player. And I think that's what makes it really cool versus guys like these guys.
Not going to argue the Steph propaganda.
I couldn't resist, Sam, for like 30 seconds. I had to.
I got to ask, man, like, this is kind of getting nasty discourse.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is the furthest from what I wanted to do a post-game show on. I don't know what else to – Andy, I mean, it's like everyone's going to call in and mention about it, and I can't blame them, but it just really sucks. I don't know what else to say. It sucks. Game one, Draymond gets kicked out. Game two, what Dylan Brooks did to GP2 was really messed up, and now they're going to play up this jaw thing, and
I agree.
I was looking forward to the Grizzlies. I cannot be done with the Grizzlies series.
Yeah, I am with you. And I think that's part of this is the 2022 social media. It's every single thing is scrutinized. Every single thing is talked about. And I think this is what happens, especially when it's such a high visibility series like this where Steve has said some stuff, right? And Taylor Jenkins is saying stuff now. And Draymond has said stuff. And I think this is what happens. This is just what happens. And I think end of the day, it's as long as the Warriors win, who cares? As long as the Warriors win.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure.
You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's keep moving forward. Let's get Rishi up here. Rishi, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for putting this together as usual. First of all, I'm tired of the nitpicking with the Chase crowd. They were pretty great the entire game. It was a 30-point blowout, and they left a little early. Like,
Were you there?
Like, I wasn't there. Some friends were there, and like it looked like it was pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
So I think that stuff is just gets really annoying. The other thing with the like the whole all these storylines and other stuff like that, I feel like this is just classic Adam Silver NBA, where it's like we can't even talk about the basketball game after like just one play that has to blow up and like all these storylines and stuff. It makes it shitty to watch the series, and it's just this is why the NBA has other problems, but whatever. And then Jordan Poole, I think he's a top 20 player. And I think next year you're gonna like probably see him be an all-star next year.
Top 20. Wow. Top 20. That's bold, but I'm not here to tell you no. Andy Liu, is Jordan Poole an all-star next year? Is the all-star team just the entire Warriors roster?
the all-star team is just the small lineup. It's just the 2022 def lineup. I don't know if he's a top 20
fits
player,
five.
But yeah, he's playing like it. He's playing like it. Simply put,
yeah,
he's playing like it.
Give me top 40. I'll go top 40 for
sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's playing that great.
I think he's in that second tier of guard playmaker. Like he's not in the Steph, Luka, like the A-list guys, but I think he might be making a case to be on the B-list.
Yes, and he's young. He could get there.
He could. He's interesting. Let's get Lucas up here. Lucas, how's it going? Jaw deleted the tweet.
I bet you somebody told him to delete it.
This entire pod is going to be so funny when people listen to it, and because we're doing this live after the game, can't be reacting to Gen Z on Twitter, you know, because like they'll delete.
Yeah. Sam, you're right. You can never react to Gen Z on Twitter ever. Nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody does.
Well, it's taken four twists and turns before the episode ends. Lucas, what's going on, man?
Cheers, fellas. All well. How are you guys doing? You caught me almost talking to myself. I wasn't expecting to get called so early. First of all, I think Ja went really fast from getting sympathy from the Warriors fans for to getting their hate. I think this has been one of those games where we actually made adjustments, and like I talked with you guys some calls ago, and we were getting we always had when we played so poorly, it seems like we have so much difficulty to adjust. And today, like you said, Sam, it was like when Kerr called that first timeout, we said, let's stop fucking around and play good basketball and make good decisions. And that was really a statement, because I think in the other games, Memphis was getting the opportunity to bully us because we were not making those adjustments and not making the right decisions. Like you said, Draymond kept making the same mistakes and trying passes that weren't working. And I think that Kerr did a tremendous job. Kerr 14.7 or whatever. And and what I want to talk about also is the fact that Steph is not being so aggressive. And I saw a lot of people complaining on Twitter that Steph was not being aggressive. And this week, the media was so being so disrespectful with Steph, and that has been so annoying. And I don't understand why Steph doesn't try to be more aggressive. When he tried to drive to the lane, he was getting by so easily. He was no one on the Memphis defense could deal with him. So I don't understand why he.
Well, let me answer that. And by the way, Lucas, we always appreciate the call. By the way, shout out Lucas calling from Brazil in his second language.
Legend.
Andy, could you call in a second language?
Nope.
No chance. No, at all.
I can't speak Cantonese that well. No chance.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, so I think Steph is trying to balance getting everyone else involved and picking his spots. And this is what classic, like, unaggressive Steph games look like to me.
Agreed. I think starting this game, he's like, oh, Clay's struggling. Let me get him involved, right? Kuminga's starting. Let me get it. And that's who Steph is. I think he's as true of a point guard and a leader that you'll always see. I think as Warriors fans, it's easy to get frustrated. I think that's what it is. It's easy to get frustrated because you're like, Steph, shoot the ball. Nobody cares. Just shoot it, right? Shoot it 30 times.
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes it gets frustrating, yeah.
All right, Ty, what's going on, bro?
Yo. To try and piggyback off of almost Andy's point, one thing I've noticed with the Warriors is a lot of times we let guys do their hero ball, martyr ball shit. And because, like, basketball conversation is such lacking in nuance and has gotten devolved into the who's the best guy versus who's the best guy stuff, people don't necessarily, like, think about it. Because, like, as much as Jokic is a beast, he was playing against guys who were, you know, 30 to 50 pounds lighter and 3 to 5 inches shorter, and Jaws on an island just like LeBron in 15 when it's like a team game, and Steph is sitting here manipulating defenses and all of this nonsense. It's always going to come down to the one thing, or to the one guy thing. So my prediction, we get the Larry this year, and whoever we play, the best player on that on the opposite team is going to do like 32 and whatever on mid efficiency and get called the best player in the world, and they're gonna say Steph's not top 10 because ESPN needs headlines. But good win, Jazz corny, and good night.
I do agree with him. It's like there's middle ground between being impressed with what Jazz done this series and understanding the Warriors are daring him to shoot it 30 times. You know, like, that's their scheme. They're like, we don't think you can beat us one man by yourself. He did once, but, you know, they don't think he can.
Nope.
So.
Nope.
All right, a couple more, and then we'll call it we'll get our guy Schick Chioza up here.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
Here. Pretty solid. Just scrolling through the timeline. There's a lot of job bitching going on. Yeah, this Memphis coach is an actual bitch. I'm just going to say that. Like,
relax.
Like, fuck this guy, dude. He's going up there in fucking pool, just trying to get him suspended. It's like the third campaign. Oh, fuck these guys. Anyways, I think that's the sign that pool's finally arrived, is that everyone's trying to get him suspended.
That's a good point.
Nothing much to add, but a great game. Hopefully we shoot like this, but good to see Clay like half cut his checking in half. I don't know.
Yeah.
Schick just comes in hot. Just
I respect it.
Yeah, Schick being Schick every time.
Callum.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Coming, belling in from Manchester, UK.
Let's go.
Nice.
I'm drunk, man.
I'm drunk too, brother.
It's like nearly 5 o'clock. You know? It's nearly 5 o'clock over here, man. It's nearly five. Yeah. What I was going to say now, what we've got to do to get our quarterback in that starting lineup now? Like, come on. You see him diving for them loose balls, offensive boards, everything. Like, do you think Otto Porter now should be in that starting lineup for this series?
Yeah, Callum, appreciate the call. By the way, Manchester, love it. I think Otto should be the starter next game. I think it's the appropriate time for he's their best option, right? Like, he's their best front court option if you want Wiggins on the wing. You got to put Otto up there. I want to read the quote Jaren said, and then we'll probably get out of here, Andy. Jaren Jackson, on the play, the Grizz say hurt Jaw's knee. It's unfortunate. You never want to see that type of stuff. but no one's out here dirty. No one's out here like that. It's just unfortunate. You know the code. We've been talking about the code all series.
Oh boy.
It seems to me like Grizz teammates were probably told Ja to
relax.
Yeah, turn the temperature down a little bit. I don't know.
Look, that play was nothing fucking close to what Dylan Brooks did. Nothing close.
Even Dylan's play is just like, it was just one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Dumbest. You know? And I think the Grizzlies agree. Yeah. I think the Grizzlies agree. The Grizzlies were like, yo, that play was not necessary. And I think
you saw how Giannis went from behind today and got that chase down on Tatum that got reviewed because Tatum kind of hit the floor hard. But it was not a flagrant because Giannis got ball, right?
Right. Just make him play for the ball. Yeah.
Dylan Brooks definitely in his own head thinks he's capable of doing something like that. Like that, you know what I mean? Like it's the same thing where he like decides that he's Klay Thompson when he shoots the ball. You know, it's just like just delusional type of stuff. But I'm getting tired of this because we're not talking about basketball. The basketball's been good. All it is like, you know, code right. and all this sort. It's lame, man. On to the next one.
Yep.
All right. I think we're going to end it there. A shorter episode. Andy and I are fighting through it. We'll be back after Monday night, game 4. Appreciate you all.